morning, ladies. It's always, I don't know if it's a good sign when you're already weeping before you get up here. My amazing friend Kristen, you guys are all so blessed by her heart, and we love Dr. Francis. She's was Haley's primary care physician actually at the start of our whole story that we're sharing with you today. I have a picture here I want to get, make sure our, there we go. That's my family, and Kristen mentioned my husband of 20 years, and then the ages of our three girls. Obviously, Haley's up here, and then our other two. All right, you guys, so our topic today, our main idea is how do we handle trials? So how do we respond in trials? Trials really are an inevitable part of life. The question is not if we're going to face them, but when. Our pastor at CBC in Danville often says, you're either heading into a trial, you're currently in a trial, or you're coming out of one. So the key as believers is how do we respond when those storms come? Haley and I have 3 points that we've pulled together today going through our 4-year trial that we'd love to share with you. The first is surrender yourself to God, persevere in the trial, and 3 is watch and wait for God's glory to be revealed. Haley and I have walked a long and difficult road since 2021, nearly 4 years ago. Haley got COVID at Christmas of 2021 and recovered well, but a few weeks later, some very bizarre symptoms came back that were pretty debilitating.
Like my mom said, I got COVID when I was in 8th grade, and then I recovered really well, but then after that, I developed long COVID. So during my 8th grade year, I just got COVID, and then I experienced all these weird symptoms that I have never felt before. I was chronically fatigued. I had chronic pain, migraines, insomnia, tinnitus, insomnia. I already said that. But I just had all these symptoms that I had never been so debilitated by, and they went on for months and months, and I was home for a long time during my 8th grade year. And then I recovered pretty well, was able to have a decently normal freshman year. I was in the school musical, on the tennis team, had a social life. It was great. It was a little taste of what a normal high school experience is like. But then by the end of my freshman year, I had a significant flare-up of my long COVID, and I was diagnosed by a Stanford neurologist with a chronic illness called POTS. POTS is basically an autonomic disorder of the nervous system that keeps your body in a constant state of fight or flight. This flare-up just got worse and worse, and I was home for most of my sophomore year. And by the end of my sophomore year, my health had just declined so much that I had to disenroll for my junior year, and I had to complete school from home. And then I had to start going to the hospital every week to get infusions to try to help my POTS symptoms so I could do some normal things, just so I could just leave the house every now and then. But these IVs, they would barely help. They'd help maybe for 2 days. Maybe I'd get to leave the house once or twice, and then I'd have to go again, just get more meds so I could leave the house maybe once more. So it was really just kind of a Band-Aid over my symptoms. But then when I went into my junior year, I was just getting worse and worse to the point that I had to go to the hospital every few days to get infusions. And we were just looking for a cure. We were looking for something that could just help my symptoms altogether, that I could just maybe go back to school for my senior year, that I could leave the house for more than a couple hours. And so my doctor recommended a treatment called IVIG, which is a blood transfusion, and it's extremely invasive and time-consuming. And he did tell us, he said, okay, maybe you shouldn't do this because there is a very, very small 1% chance that you get this serious side effect called an aseptic meningitis. And so then we were like, okay, that's a 1% chance. I'm not going to be that 1%, surely. But then during the fall of my junior year, we tried this IVIG, went through with it for a couple months, and then by December 23rd of 2023, I contracted an aseptic meningitis, and I was just so sick. Up until this point, I had been used to dealing with chronic migraines every single day. I was getting Botox to help with the pain, just injections, all the things. But this is septic meningitis. This headache was excruciating. It was a pain like I have never experienced before. And I had, like I said, I had had chronic pain for years up until this point. And this headache did not go away. I had to lay down flat in my bed with the lights completely off, you know, ice on my face, all the things. And I'm a very positive person. I'm a happy person. I don't get beat down by circumstances most of the time. So dealing with this chronic illness hadn't been that bad for me. I kept a positive demeanor. And this aseptic meningitis, it just got me. My body was at an all-time low physically. And then mentally, I just was spiraling. It was just one day after I had gotten the aseptic meningitis, December 24th, Christmas Eve of 2023. And I was just lying in my bed all day. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to be in church for Christmas Eve service, my favorite service of the year. And I was so sick. I'd been in the hospital the whole day before. And I couldn't get out of my bed on the 24th. And I was just crying, feeling isolated and depressed. Lord, I have been through so much. Why am I here now? I don't want to be here. Why am I here right now? At home, I want to be in church. I want to be able to be in school with my friends. So I was like, okay. I just crawled down onto my floor and I knelt and I was like, Jesus, I can't do this by myself anymore. I have tried so hard to hold myself up and to be my own strength during this time, but I can't do it. It's exhausting. I can't hold myself up. Lord, I need you. I surrender. I give this trial to you. And I ask that you would give me peace and joy. And my dear sisters, I have never experienced such peace and joy as I did in that moment. My physical pain was still so excruciating. I was still not able to leave the house for months. I was still going to the hospital all the time. But I felt such peace and such joy, and I felt the Lord's comfort with me, and he was just there sitting with me. He didn't heal me physically, but he healed me spiritually. And so that was such a blessing, and I was able to just surrender my life to him. I had to be stripped of everything so that I could realize that the only thing that I needed was to be reliant on the Lord.
And that brings us to our first point, surrender yourself to God. I remember reading scripture to Haley in her bed at the hospital and her laying there in pain and drugged from all the meds. I definitely felt helpless as a mom and weary of a very long and hard journey. I too had to get to that point where I surrendered Haley to the Lord. I had to trust him with this plan, no matter how hard or how long. Psalm 23 was one of those verses that just kept coming up for Haley and I.
She always had these different verses that she would read to me when I was at my bed at home or at the hospital. And Psalm 23 was the one that she just kept coming back to. And it became my verse that anytime I was just feeling a little bit down, it would remind me of the Lord's presence. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The verse that always stayed with Haley and I was, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He really was with us in our suffering. I know everyone in this room has encountered storms in our lives. We have all experienced those moments where all we can do is just open our hands and say, help. God, we need you. Take this and do your will. Please have your way. I absolutely had to get to this point where I surrendered Haley before the Lord. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This too, this had to be my prayer as well. 3.5 years of walking Haley's up and down health journey taught me a great deal of the importance of surrender. A ton of doc appointments all over the Bay Area, countless research, time, and energy trying to figure out how to best help Haley. And honestly, nothing worked or helped. It was at this point when we had no answers, no direction, no other medical alternatives. We had literally exhausted it all that we gave God the reins. And this is a daily choice. And I think that it's something we all battle with in our own trials regularly, no matter what it is, how big the trial or how small. Are we going to surrender? Are we going to trust him? He showed me that all the striving and energy I had spent trying to figure out how to best heal and treat Haley, he was in control all along. He wanted to do it in his time and in his perfect way. And that's right where he wants all of us in our trials, to realize we can't do it without him, to be completely and totally dependent on him. And that brings us to our second point, persevere in the trial. James 1, 2 through 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I mean, that really is the hardest ask, right? To consider it joy when we face trials. Watching Haley persevere in this trial was a true testimony and encouraged my heart daily. When Haley was too weak to leave the house, she began sewing. She started a sewing business and made bows for girls at her old grade school over at St. Perpetua in Lafayette and totes for women. She sewed blankets and hats for the homeless. She made countless shirts, darling dresses, formal dresses, homecoming dresses, anything she thought of in her mind, she made it. When she was home online for school, she committed to reading one classical book a week. I mean, who does this? She made her way through Russian literature such as War and Peace, then went on to classics like Gone with the Wind and The Odyssey. Haley refused to waste this season, but instead she redeemed it. She made the most of every opportunity, even with her physical limitations. But Haley's true perseverance was shown in how she handled pain and suffering, especially when she was at her worst with the aseptic meningitis. Haley refused to become depressed, but remained optimistic even while struggling. Haley spent a lot of hours in the hospital over at John Muir getting infusions. But every time she walked into that hospital, she brought her smile and her joy and blessed people in there with her positive attitude. The nurses who cared for her honestly were floored by her perspective. She developed close relationships with each of her nurses, asking about their kids, their lives, and their challenges. She never lost heart in this journey, and that was really beautiful to witness as her mom. Now, perseverance for me looked a little bit different in this trial. The key in this long and lengthy journey for me was community and fellowship. Christian friendship through our church was a tremendous source of encouragement and sustained me through the ups and downs of Haley's long health journey. A year ago, last January, when things were really at their worst, we had friends bringing meals, showing up to pray, and loving on our family to sustain us. Their prayers and encouragement to our family gave us the ability to persevere and not lose heart. We all need community in our lives to hold us up when we are down. And I don't know what I would have done without those incredible women, support and prayers of all of my amazing family and sisters in Christ during this difficult season. Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The season really was a beautiful picture of the body of Christ loving, praying, and encouraging our family. Haley's most noteworthy display of perseverance was in her healing journey. I'm going to let her tell you a bit about that.
So last winter, when I was dealing with the aseptic meningitis, we were at a loss for any treatment that could help me. But as we continued to go down the rabbit hole of pursuing other possibilities of healing, I had a feeling that God wanted us to just stop trying to do this our way and let him show us what was best. We had tried to solve my health problems in the way that we wanted to, looking for different medical ways that could help, and we just held too tightly. We were starting to go down rabbit holes looking for things like spinal fluid leaks, and God was just calling us to take a step of faith and trust that even if we could not see the end result of my health journey, he would hold us and keep us. It's like Hebrews 11:1 that talks about faith is the confidence and assurance in the things unseen. We couldn't see what the end result of my health journey was going to look like, when the end result would be, if it would come, but I just had this feeling that the Lord wanted us to let go and just trust him and have the faith that he would bring it in his time. So we had a family member recommend a natural method to help my body heal. We stopped all of our doctor's appointments, plans for procedures, imaging, medications, and eventually even infusions. I had to do several sessions weekly online learning this difficult approach to heal my body. I started going on walks for 20 minutes every day, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but for a person who had not been mobile, it was grueling work. We extended infusions from every 3 days to 5 days, and then like I said, we eventually just stopped them altogether. At first, we thought this method was absolutely crazy, and there was no way that it could help, but we really felt that the Lord was calling us to trust that he was going to work through this method and bring healing. It took several months before I noticed any improvement, but then little by little, I started to be doing better. I was able to leave the house. I was able to start driving again, then go out to dinner, and then I was able to go back for school for my senior year, which has been such an amazing blessing. And now I'm even able to look at colleges that are far away from my home, which I definitely did not think I'd be doing even 5 months ago.
And that brings us to our last point in handling trials. Watch and wait for God's glory to be revealed. There are so many ways to thank and praise God for as we are just beginning to see his plan in this long journey and how he allowed this suffering. For the past year, Haley has been hosting a weekly Bible study in our home for girls in high school. She has helped countless girls grow in their relationship with God and become more and more dependent upon his word. Haley also started a Bible study, like Mrs. Wright shared, at Carondelet High School, where they meet weekly and go through various books of the Bible. And I have a picture of one of their meetings. A year ago, we had no idea if Haley would be able to come back for her senior year, much less go to college. And now she has gotten into multiple colleges and has some great options, as she shared, possibly going out of state that she's considering. God has answered that prayer and exceeded our hopes and expectations tenfold. But the most miraculous work I have seen is the work that God has done in Haley's heart. Sorry. There is nothing I could want more for my girls than to see them love and pursue Jesus. It has encouraged my faith and made the long and difficult road worth it. I'm reminded of the story in Matthew of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. He restores him spiritually first, and then he heals him physically. See, both really are a miracle, and both are deserving of praise and awe of the miracle worker, Jesus. We have seen God heal Haley, both physically and spiritually, and we praise him for that. I know as time continues, we will see many more God moments and how he used this very difficult season to yield such beautiful fruit in our lives.
So when I really surrendered my life to Jesus on that day that I discussed earlier, it changed everything. In John 15, it says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." This verse was so impactful to me. Before this encounter with the Lord, my faith and relationship with God was based on big moments and on feelings. I would read the Bible when I wanted to and pray if convenient for me, but my faith was definitely not a relationship. I realized that you can't say you have a relationship with someone if you just talk to them when it is convenient for you. I realized my faith and so-called relationship with Jesus was a lifeline that I clung to when I needed help. But otherwise, I was just doggy paddling my way through life, trying to hold myself up on my own strength, knowing that the lifeline was there if I ever got tired. So the thing that was different about my moment on the floor crying out to Jesus was that it was not the peak. It was just the beginning. It was the day that I decided that I would follow him and remain in him. I would give my life to him and let him show me where to go and what to do. It was the moment I surrendered myself and gave God the wheel. So instead of even trying to control my relationship with God, I let him show me how to remain close to the vine, like it discusses in John 15. He showed me how to grow closer to him by having me dust off the barely used Bible on my nightstand and open it. The book that had once seemed so irrelevant and boring was suddenly Jesus speaking living and active words to me. He showed me his true love by showing me his character in the Bible. And I just clung to this love letter with everything that I had. I would sit in the hospital beds and read God's word while I received medications. My eyesight would be so blurry from all the different mix of the weird meds, and I would still just try to consume whatever I could pick up with my blurry eyes. The words just helped me find comfort and joy amidst my pain and suffering. I found such gratitude for life, and my eyes were opened to really how lucky I was. So after that day that Jesus met me in my sorrows, him speaking to me through his word is really what helped me to stay close to the vine. Jesus is the reason that I can count my suffering as the most beautiful thing to happen to me. It's kind of scary to think about where I would be if I had not had all this suffering and I had not encountered Jesus through it. He was all that I had left, and I clung to him with everything inside of me. He teaches us that we are not meant to go through life's hardships alone. As he says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus wants to help us carry everything that we hold. He wants to give us rest and make our load lighter, which is just what he did with my mom and I in our suffering. We surrendered, and Jesus made our suffering beautiful and a blessing. And I am going to give you a little bit of a disclaimer. Surrendering is definitely not a one-time thing, but it's an everyday posture that you have to choose over and over again. Every moment of the day, you have to choose to surrender whatever you're going through to Jesus. And that means praying with your hands open in a posture to receive and saying, "God, I give you control. I lift whatever I'm going through up to you. I'm done trying to hold myself up through the storms of life. I surrender." And then that means truly trusting that God is going to use your suffering for his good and glory.
In the book Relax that you guys are going through this year, Megan Fate Marshman talks about persevering in trials, and I wanted to read this excerpt. It really hit home for me, and I hope it does for you as well. When James says, "Let perseverance finish its work," "let" is an interesting words choice. It's passive. If I say "let it go," I'd mean take your hands off, stop trying to control whatever is in your grasp. In other words, perseverance is not something that we do. It's something we need to let God do to us as we give up trying to figure it out all on our own. I want to say that one more time. In other words, perseverance is not something that we do. It's something we need to let God do to us as we give up trying to figure it out all on our own. I think I need to say that every day. This is what it means to submit to God in your trials, not just in the ways that you feel strong or capable, but the ways in which you feel weak or incomplete also need to be submitted over to him. When life goes smoothly, it's easier to rely on our own strength. It's been in the painful struggles that I've most passionately clung to Christ. Through our struggles and pain and trials of many kinds, God kindly removes the illusion of self-sufficiency and woos us into intimate surrender. And for those of you that are reading the book, And if you haven't, at some point, if you have space, read it, because Megan Faith Marshman lost her husband tragically. He's very young, with two small boys. So if anyone understands suffering and trials, she is really knows how to speak to that. Oh, I'm...
So I know at the beginning my mom said that we're either coming out of a trial, in one, or heading into one. So I just want to encourage you, if you're in a trial right now, if you're in a season of suffering, I just want to remind you that you are not alone at all. Jesus sees you, and he loves you, and he's calling you right where you are to surrender to him. It definitely doesn't mean that your trial is going to disappear overnight, but it does mean that you will never walk through it without his peace, his purpose, and his strength.
So I'd love to wrap up our time together with some quiet time just with yourselves before the Lord in your space of your own chair with a song, an incredible song by Four Worship, which is our praise band over at CPC. They've written a bunch of songs and an album they came out with this past year, but this is called Have Your Way. And I encourage you to just take some intentional time. And maybe there's a circumstance in your life right now that you just need to surrender. You need to give it up. You need to say, Lord, I cannot do this without you. Please take this. Have your way. Do your will. So I'm just going to encourage you right now as I play this song to prostrate yourselves before the Lord and be willing to surrender that trial that you're going through. Oh, do we have volume? We're going to try to get some volume here. We don't have volume, so we will send that out. I think Kristen's going to send that out, and then we're going to do the questions are going to come up. Thank you, guys.
This on. Okay. Thank you so much to Haley and Lindsay. I know I can speak for all of us when we say that you guys have gone through so much, and it's really a testament to your faith in God. And I know I wrote down a couple words for each of you. Like Lindsay, I wrote surrender, and Haley, I wrote faith. And for both of you, I wrote strength, just because those are things that really embody you. And the thing you said about surrender is a posture you have to choose again and again every day. I think that's something all of us can take home. I think this is going, okay. And so I'm excited to see how God continues to use you and the rest of your journey to touch so many lives around you. So I'm going to pray for all of us to close us out, and then we'll head to our small group time. So this is a prayer on trials that I found that I hope resonates with you guys throughout the rest of the week. So let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for your word says that you give us the power to come out of this trial as gold. Thank you that this storm will not last forever, but we're only passing through. Thank you that nothing has taken you by surprise. You know our journey better than we know it ourselves, and you will use this time of testing for good. Thank you, Lord, that you are producing in us great endurance through the hard places. You are building spiritual muscle. We press in close to your presence today, and no matter what obstacles we're facing, we choose to rejoice in you. Be with us this week and remind us that you are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great table time.